Glad you can join us at Hope at Home today. I'm Willie Oliver.
And I'm Elaine Oliver. It's always a privilege to be with you on Hope at Home. Of course, since we're still living with COVID, let's continue wearing our face masks, washing our hands regularly, and observing physical distance laws.
As many of you already know, the COVID-19 public health crisis has also become an emotional, spiritual, big challenge for countless individuals, as well as marriage and family relationships all over the world. This situation has provoked anxiety, stress, tension, grief, and even spiritual uncertainty.
You know, we recognize that this unexpected upheaval has been traumatic for many individuals, marriages, and families. But for some families, it has actually become a wonderful paradigm shift and an opportunity to recalibrate. Perhaps God is giving us an opportunity to slow down.
Absolutely.
And to reconnect interpersonally and to take our relationship with Him more seriously so we can have the kind of family relationships that bring glory and honor to His name.
Today, we want to focus primarily on keeping your marriage healthy as you enter into the next phase of dealing with COVID. Before we get into our topic, let's pray.
Dear God, thank you for this beautiful new day. Thank you for your mercies, which were new again this morning.
And thank you, Father, that we can always trust you. Whatever we need today, please supply, and we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So here's a reality. All marriages will experience stressful life events with or without COVID.
That's right.
For some couples, COVID may be your first stressful event, especially if you're a newlywed. And so many couples have actually gotten married in the midst of COVID.
Yes.
And we think, you know, that's probably best. If you were planning your wedding and it was meant to be, and you have been doing your premarital and made plans, then we need to adjust accordingly. It may not be the big grand wedding. Or even if it were not grand, you know, you may not have all the people that you wanted. But you know what we always say? Weddings are to get married.
And you know what? You might just have a gift in this reality, and that is spend less money and have more resources to make a down payment on a house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great idea. So if you're newlywed, COVID is your first stressful event.
Yes.
So it came a little earlier than most stressful events may come. Many studies on theories of stress inoculation suggest that how couples adapt to moderately stressful events may actually help them develop a resilience to future stress.
Yes.
Especially, this is what's really interesting, especially when it happens in early marriage. So addressing how couples adapt to stress is imperative for understanding marital development and marital satisfaction and
marital stability.
Yes. Absolutely. Couples who display more effective problem-solving behaviors during stressful events become more resilient. And guess what? Will feel happier and more successful in their marriage. Hence, being better equipped for future stressful events.
That's right. Let me repeat what Elaine said earlier. All couples will have conflict and experience stressful events. In fact, I often say that the minute a couple standing at the altar and is pronounced husband and wife by the minister and they walk down that aisle, they are all heading for separation and alienation. Every single one of them. Unless they're intentional about connecting with each other every day through the power of God. If you're not connecting intentionally through the power of God every day, hey, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how long you've been dating. You're all heading for alienation and separation. That's just the reality of life because we're human beings and because we're all fallible. The stressful event isn't the real issue. It's how you manage the stress as a couple. How resilient you are as a couple. How resilient you want to become.
For sure. So what does it mean to be resilient? Because we're using this word a lot, and we've heard this word many times throughout COVID, and we've probably even talked about it as
we've
spoken about family resilience and developing social supports. But what exactly is resilience? So here's a definition of resilience from the dictionary. Resilience is the ability to recover from or adjust to a stressful event or stressful events or some sudden change.
Yes.
It doesn't even have to be sudden. It can just be
a change,
a disruption in what is normal. So for sure, COVID has been a change, and it's been a very stressful event, and it has induced major stress and change in our lives and in our relationships. So resilient couples have to learn to develop the capacity to repair their relationship after a negative interaction or a negative event. And so because of COVID, because of the stress, the anxiety, it causes many couples to be on edge.
That's right.
And being on edge, having this anxiety, creates tension and stress, in the relationship. And so when we're resilient, then what we're saying is we learn how to recover quickly. So when we have negative interactions, we make an attempt to repair it. So instead of insisting that our way is the right way,
which usually happens between couples,
absolutely, we shift the focus to calming ourselves down. Now, where have we heard that before? We've talked about the PPC, right?
Pause, pray, and choose.
So when we calm ourselves down, we're working to better understand each other. And you know what I like to call it? Yeah, you just said it.
Self-soothe.
You know what it means to self-soothe? It means that instead of you getting stuck on blaming your spouse or bickering with each other, you work together to solve the problem. What you do is you soothe yourself, kind of like
a baby.
A baby, right? Except guess what? Only adults should be getting married, right?
That's right.
We're going to assume that if you're married, you're an adult. And what we're saying is, unlike a baby that needs a parent or a guardian or someone to soothe them, we need to learn how to self-soothe, how to calm ourselves down.
But even babies who are well-adjusted learn how to self-soothe. They suck their thumb instead of crying and hoping that someone will pick them up. They just put their thumb in their mouth, and pretty soon they're sucking on it. We call it self-soothing. Now, couples who don't develop the capacity to repair can get mired in lengthy bickering, hours of even days of stony silence or bitter resentment. These can do more damage, way more damage to the relationship than the conflict itself. Resilient couples feel good about their relationship. They have confidence that they can weather tough moments and that conflict can lead them to a deeper understanding of each other. They feel positive enough that they can let go of the small stuff. I like to say it's all small stuff. Forgive their spouse and move on. That's what it means to repair.
You know, I just really love that whole concept about repairing.
Yes.
Because it's so visual. When we think about repairing something, you know, if you have a hole in your socks, you repair it. You fix that hole. And so what we're saying is, in our relationships, the quicker we move to repair breaches, you know, holes, negative interactions,
the bad feelings between you.
The quicker we can get our relationship back on track so that we can work together as a team to get through this. Because the thing that we want to continue to remember is that we're on
the same team.
Right? And if you we can use like a sports analogy. I like to use sports analogy. I hope I don't get in trouble here, but it's kind of like if you're playing, let's say, basketball. Like, you would never shoot
a basket
on
your own goal.
Right. Or is that soccer and...
No, they call baskets... They call... In basketball, we also say goal. They call it a goal.
Oh.
When a basketball player makes a score...
I used to be such a big basketball fan.
They also call it a goal.
Okay, so you would never score against yourself, let's say. You wouldn't shoot in the other person's basket, right? So we shouldn't do that in our relationship. So we seek to repair. We seek to play on the same team. So let's share some tips... with our couples.
Absolutely.
That will help them to become more, help you to become more resilient. So tip number one, become an active listener.
Yes.
You know what? When your spouse is speaking to you, you need to listen. Healthy and positive communication begins with active listening. Now, this form of listening involves listening with your ears, your eyes, and your heart. You know, we call it attunement.
Attunement.
Right? So what does that mean?
Turning towards.
Turn towards the person. So and this is kind of like...
Tune your ear.
Right. This is kind
tune
of like a
soul.
Joke in our marriage, right? Yes. Because sometimes we're driving down the street and Willie will say, oh, look at that, look at something. And I'll say, oh, yeah. And he'll say, but you didn't even look. And I said, yeah, but I've seen it before.
Yeah, but before doesn't count. I'm saying look at it now.
Right.
So if I say look at it now, be in tune with me and look.
You know, sometimes my neck is a little stiff and it's hard for me to turn. But you should at least make an attempt.
Likely story. Her neck is a little stiff. Okay.
No, it really is. It really is. But we should turn towards our spouse when they're speaking, or if they say to you, you know, look out the window, we should look out the window. Or if they call us over to look at something. And so when we attune...
Or if they say, ouch, say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, don't just let an ouch go by like if nothing happened. You know, act like if you are in this marriage.
You know what I often say to you, right, is treat me like a stranger.
That's right.
Right? Because if you were in an elevator with a total stranger or in the grocery store and you rolled your basket on someone's heel and they said, ouch, you wouldn't say, oh, why are you saying ouch?
That's right.
You know, you would say, oh,
I'm sorry.
My goodness, I'm so sorry.
I am so sorry.
And it would be so heartfelt, right? I mean, most normal people, right, would feel that way. So we're saying we need to listen to our spouse, listen to their ouches, listen to what they're saying to us, and convey to your spouse that you really hear and understand what they are saying, even if you don't always agree.
That's right. You don't have to agree.
Listen, listening is not problem solving. You're not trying to solve the problem. You're just listening. When each spouse in the marriage feels heard and understood, they draw closer together as a couple. It is much easier to solve problems and resolve conflict when each spouse feels heard and understood. This one small act enhances intimacy, builds trust, cultivates commitment, and strengthens the relationship together. You know, the Bible says in James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak,
and slow to become angry. I love that text. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Tip number two, build love maps. There is a concept developed by Dr. John Gottman, one of the leading marriage researchers in the world, which is really about building a foundation of a strong friendship. It's called love maps. Well, what is a love map? Well, the question is, what is a map? Before we had GPSs and smartphones with all kinds of gadgets to help us get from point A to point B, we had maps. A map is a document that helps you to know the territory, how to get from point A to point B. When you build love maps, what you're really doing is you are building the knowledge base you have about your spouse. It is about knowing your spouse. Favorite colors, favorite meal. Oh, favorite day, favorite place to go on a vacation, on a date, favorite restaurant, love maps, knowing about your spouse. The more you know, the better the relationship. So this second tip, building love maps, it's all about knowing.
And friendship.
Yes, of course.
Right?
Because when you know.
You build your friendship.
Yes, and you feel like you're friends because you know that about me.
Absolutely. Tip number three, make daily emotional deposits. You know, our relationships are like a bank account. Every time we do something positive, we make a deposit. Mm-hmm. Every time we do something that's negative, even if it's unintentional, it's a withdrawal. If we want our account to have currency, we want to make more deposits than withdrawals.
That's right.
When we do an act of kindness, like giving compliments, being kind in other ways, being honest, we make deposits. When we criticize or don't follow through on commitments, we make a withdrawal. If you want to have a good relationship, you know what? You have to have a ratio of 10 to 1. 10 deposits to 1 withdrawal. You know what? How many of you want to have a great relationship?
I do.
Well, so do I. Then you have to have 20 to 1 ratio. 20 deposits to 1 withdrawal. So you know what, folks? You need to start thinking about those deposits from the night before.
Yeah. Before you go to bed, start thinking, what can I do the following day when I wake up to make an emotional deposit? Tip number 4, forgive often. If your marriage is going to thrive and flourish during COVID and beyond, forgiveness must be a regular ingredient in your marriage relationship. Forgiveness serves as the path for healing and reconciliation in every relationship. In every marriage, couples will inevitably hurt each other. When you choose to forgive, you give up your perceived right to punish the other person or to retaliate later on. When you fail to forgive, resentment and bitterness builds. It grows into the relationship and leads to a negative pattern or destructive cycle. Of course, the more severe the infraction, the more difficult it is to forgive. However, forgiveness frees us so healing can begin. Most marriages suffer from an accumulation of small infractions that have been left unforgiven. Forgiveness preserves the hope in your marriage. I love what the Bible has to say in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Just like God has forgiven you, so you must forgive your spouse.
Yeah, for sure. Tip number 5, laugh a lot. Laughter, the Bible says, is good medicine. Find funny stories and share with each other. Play fun games together. Make time in your schedule to just have fun. Hey, you know what? I don't believe that anybody ever got married to have a good fight. Like, oh, you know what? I feel like having a good fight, so I think I'm going to get married. You know, or you didn't get married to go through stressful events. We know they're going to happen. We expect them to happen, but that's not why you got married. Most of us get married to spend our lives with the person we think is going to be a fun friend to spend life with for the rest of our lives, right?
That's right.
A friend with benefits.
Yes. You know, life is short, and yet it can be very long if you're not having fun, if you're with someone who's miserable, who's not trying to be a happy camper and trying to make the journey lots of fun. These 5 tips are easy tips that any couple can implement immediately. However, if you feel you can only handle one, then try one starting today. Once we acknowledge what's happening to us, there's a lot that a couple can do proactively to not only survive quarantine, but actually thrive through it and beyond. It starts by modifying your perspective. What if we tried to embrace this new weird time together as an opportunity for a reset? What if we saw this as an opening to intentionally develop new and improved ways of being, of behaving with each other? This is a wonderful opportunity. This pandemic actually is an opportunity to slow down, to reset, to try new modalities, to engage each other anew, and to do so because you want to have a better relationship. After all, when you have a better marriage, a stronger, healthier marriage, you tend to have a happier family, a healthier family, and you pass on that legacy to your children. Just like children are broken up when their parents divorce and when things are not going well in the marriage, That's also how they are blessed, when their parents not only stay together, but get along and are intentional about making every single day of their marriage count. So they're passing on and modeling a wonderful life for the future of their children.
Absolutely. And you know what's amazing is the fact that we can have happy and healthy marriages.
Absolutely.
We absolutely can. And it really is a choice that we make every day. We choose joy every day. We choose to stay together every day. But as you said, beyond choosing to just staying together, we can choose to have a satisfying and stable marriage. Marriage is about oneness and togetherness. I think our pre-COVID lives have blurred that understanding a little bit. So this is a good time to create or renew a ritual of connection. All of the tips we mentioned create opportunities for us to reconnect and for you and your spouse to regularly turn towards each other. It could be emotional, physical, or spiritual, you name it.
Or all of the above.
Or all of the above. Yes. They might be some mundane things that couples wouldn't even call them rituals. It could be the way you greet each other at the end of the day when you reunite after work, the midday text to coordinate kids' schedules, the little prayer you say together when you wake up or before you drift off to sleep, and even the little phrases you use that have private meaning just between you and your spouse. Even a nickname is a tiny verbal ritual. It says to your partner, I know you in a way that no one else does.
I want to share what some of our viewers have been doing to create new rituals during the time of COVID. One couple shared a beautiful new ritual that's emerged since entering quarantine. They call it their reconciliation walk. After their workday is over and before they sat down for dinner, they take a stroll around the neighborhood, apologize for any missteps they have had with each other that day, and then hit the reset button for the evening. It works. In fact, in the words of one of the spouses, by the end of the walk, we are no longer maintaining appropriate social distancing.
That is great. That is so wonderful. Another couple, like some others, are mourning the loss of their old morning routine. Now that days, nights, work, leisure, kids, it's all blurring together without clear boundaries. So after a week or so of all of this angst, they began a new practice. They actually get dressed in their work clothes, pack their lunches, and kiss each other goodbye. Then each of them walks out the front door, around the block separately, and then back in the door separately, ready to begin their workday. They do the same later in the day to mark the end of the work day and the beginning of family time. Mm-hmm. You know what? These are just a few ideas. These may not work for you. Do what works for your marriage. But you know what we're saying? Just do something, and do something creative.
That's right. Do something. Now is the time to trust God, to do the impossible, for enabling us to have His mind so we can be patient and kind with each other as He is with us. Let's pray and determine to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit each day in our marriage and family relationships so we may find peace and healing through the power of God and experience unexpected blessings during and after this pandemic. I love what the Bible has to say in the book of Psalm, chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, "And those who honor your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise we can claim every single day. For our marriage, for our family, that we might grow through this period and honor God in doing so. Thank you for joining us today. See you next time.
God bless you.